You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Yeah! Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, January 22nd, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thank you for joining us today. We've got a full slate of marijuana news and information for you today. Coming up on today's show, half past the hour, we're going to have another example of our Cannabusiness Chronicles. We've got all sorts of businesses now that are getting in touch with us at 420 Radio. Want to talk about their particular niche in the market. And joining us today, we have Nicole Smith. She is the CEO of Mary's Medicinals. We'll be talking about topical applications, patches for marijuana use, CBD, THC, and otherwise. So if you'd like to know more about that, get your questions in our chat room, and I'll see if I can ask them during the 15-minute interview. Also on the show today in the Radical Rant, once again, I'm going to visit the topic of marijuana apartheid, cannabis segregation, whatever you want to call it, the idea that there should be two completely separate and distinct production, distribution, and retail systems for marijuana based on how healthy the consumer might be. I've been discussing this on Facebook with some activist friends of mine who I deeply respect, and we just do not disagree on this. So I'm going to take this discussion into our Radical Rant. Maybe we'll continue it into Hour 2 Toker Talk Radio. Also on the show today, we have a Behind the Headlines segment. You may recall the story of little baby Pow Pow. He's a boy, 19-year-old boy in Georgia, who was severely injured when the Georgia cops busted in on a no-knock drug raid. They threw a flashbang grenade into the kid's crib, and, well, he was just severely injured. He's going to have surgeries for, you know, the rest of his childhood to deal with this. There are some activity in Georgia to curtail these terrible tragedies, but the Georgia police are fighting it. We'll tell you all about that in Behind the Headlines, which comes up right after the 420 Radio News. In the news today, we have a new story about the lung strength and lung health of lifetime marijuana smokers compared to those who do not smoke. We got some good news coming out of Jamaica on their path to legalizing marijuana, or as they call it, ganja. We've got a lawmaker in Northern Virginia who is proposing marijuana decriminalization, and a lawmaker in Nebraska who is proposing medical marijuana for the first time in that state. In Massachusetts, the Senate president is prepared to get into the debate over legalizing marijuana, though he won't commit to whether or not he supports that debate. And one of our family has passed away, Alan Carruthers from Normal of Waco, Inc. We will make tribute to him at the end of our 420 Radio News. Also on the show today, rather than going into the drug war data mines, we're going to have time for a cannabis community chat where I've got some words for Senate President Ginny Burdick here in the state of Oregon, who has issued some alarm and some fear over the selling of medicated edibles under Oregon's legal marijuana system that will begin in 2016. I'll explain to her some of the facts behind edibles and why any sort of scare about them just means we need more, better regulation, not more prohibitions. We'll talk about all that. Plus, we'll move on to Hour 2 in Toker Talk Radio. We'll cover some of the other stories of the day, which includes a look at The Hunting of Billie Holiday, a great magazine piece written in Politico, and how Harry J. Anslinger cemented his legacy by attacking the famous jazz singer. All that and more coming up on The Russ Melville Show.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show.
Fun.
What's happening, cool cats? This is Big Daddy, and I want you to cruise on over to the Funky Roller Rink. We'll be grooving all night long. Doors open at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, every Thursday night, right here on RadicalRuss.com.
Funky. Delicious.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, January 22nd, 2015. Lifetime marijuana use up to 20 joint years is not associated with adverse changes in spirometric measures of lung health, according to a study featured in the medical journal Annals of the American Thoracic Society. In an effort to measure marijuana's impact on lung function, researchers used data from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Surveys to conduct a cross-sectional analysis measuring participants' forced expiratory volume, defined as the amount of air one can forcibly exhale in 1 second. They found that adults between the ages of 18 and 59 who smoke one marijuana cigarette, also known as a joint, per day, had the same expiratory volume as someone who didn't partake in the plant. The data collected suggests that it's unlikely that prolonged marijuana use would cause respiratory diseases in the way that smoking tobacco would. The Jamaican cabinet has approved a bill that legalizes the possession of small amounts of marijuana. It means that for the first time, the country's Rastafarian community, which uses the herb for religious purposes, could be able to smoke it legally. The bill also envisages a licensing authority for the cultivation, sale, and distribution of marijuana for medical and therapeutic purposes. It goes to the Senate this week for approval. The bill also proposes that the smoking of marijuana will be banned in public spaces. It would make possession of 2 ounces or less a ticketable offense that would not result in a criminal record. Cultivation of 5 or fewer plants on any premises would be permitted. The head of Jamaica's Cannabis Commercial and Medicinal Research Task Force said he expected the bill to be passed soon in Parliament, where Prime Minister Portia Simpson Miller's governing party holds a 2-to-1 majority. A Northern Virginia lawmaker is bringing the debate over marijuana to the Virginia Senate. A bill sponsored by Senator Adam Eben, a Democrat from Alexandria, would decriminalize small amounts of marijuana for adults. His Senate Bill 686, which is being rewritten, would lessen the penalty for possession of marijuana from a criminal offense to a civil offense with a penalty of $100, and adults would no longer have their driver's licenses suspended. Virginia Normal spokesman Ed McCann said more than 500,000 Virginians used cannabis in the past year. More than 18,000 people were arrested on marijuana charges in Virginia in 2010, with African Americans 2.8 times more likely than whites to be arrested. A bill introduced in Nebraska on Wednesday would pave the way for legal medical marijuana in Nebraska. The Cannabis Compassion and Care Act, proposed by Bellevue Senator Tommy Garrett, outlines how the substance could be used to treat patients with debilitating medical conditions. The measure would allow the Department of Health and Human Services to issue registry identification cards to qualifying patients and registered designated caregivers. The bill would allow qualifying patients to possess up to 12 plants and 6 ounces of usable cannabis. Garrett said he is not in favor of legalization for recreational use, but his father-in-law, who lived in Colorado and suffered from cancer, utilized marijuana to reduce his nausea during treatment. Last month, then-Attorney General John Brunning joined Oklahoma in suing Colorado to halt the recreational sales of marijuana in that state and to stem the flow of pot to its neighbors. Massachusetts Senate President Stanley Rosenberg says lawmakers have to be prepared to do a deep dive into the debate over legalizing marijuana, saying both legislation and an expected 2016 ballot question push are coming whether they like it or not. Rosenberg, speaking to a Herald reporter after his appearance, declined to say whether he's personally for or against legalization, twice saying he wants to, quote, learn a lot more, end quote. When asked on Herald Radio whether he has ever smoked marijuana, he responded with a laugh, quote, "Did I go to college in the 60s?" End quote. Adam Clayton Carruthers, age 50, of Waco, passed away on Monday at his residence. Memorial services will be 11 a.m. Saturday at Calvary Baptist Church in Waco, Texas. Allen was a social worker at Methodist Children's Home and was a member of and in leadership with Normal of Waco, the Texas Libertarian Party, and the World Hunger Farm. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the World Hunger Farm, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and Normal of Waco. Thoughts and memories may be shared in the online guestbook at lakeshorefuneralhome.com/Allen-Carruthers. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, January 22nd, 2015. I'm Russ Belville. You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. International Cannabis Business Conference is coming to the Hyatt Regency Hotel in San Francisco, California, February 15th and 16th, 2015. Don't miss this exclusive opportunity to hear from the experts on the future of marijuana commerce, including scientists like Dr. Carl Hart, Dr. Amanda Ryman, and Dr. Stanton Peel, policy experts like Ethan Nadelman from Drug Policy Alliance, Anthony Johnson from Oregon's Legalization Campaign, travel author Rick Steves from Washington's Legalization Campaign, and California legalization pioneer Dale Sky Jones. Business experts like Harborside's Steve D'Angelo, ArcView Group's Troy Dayton, and UFCW union leader Dan Rush. Cannabis journalists like Ricardo Baca, Steve Bloom, and Doug Fine, and California Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, plus many, many more. Tickets are on sale now at internationalcbc.com, but hurry, last year's conference in Portland, Oregon was a sellout. International Cannabis Business Conference, San Francisco, California, February 15th and 16th, internationalcbc.com. Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies.
The Green Cross has been an amazing source of cannabis medicines for my pain management. Whether I need edibles or tinctures or topicals, I'm able to combine the two or three to give me really successful pain control.
It's the delivery service that Green Cross provides is just incredible. You get your medicine and it's delivered by a person that you know you trust.
Whether we come to you or you come to us, the Green Cross delivers.
Welcome back, everyone. 14 after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines, where we get the latest information from the website rawstory.com, which is reporting that Georgia cops fight law inspired by toddler maimed in raid. To fill you in on this, they're working on a law called Bobo's Law, and it's named for the 19-month-old boy named Bokum Phonasavon, who was severely injured during a no-knock raid in Habersham County, Georgia, last year. 19-month-old boy was injured when the cops threw in a flashbang grenade that landed in the boy's crib. It ended up blowing a hole into the little boy's chest. Going through the rest of this says, the toddler's nose was detached from his face and the blast ripped a hole in his chest and caused serious burns. He will likely require regular surgeries until he is 20 years old. His family has already racked up nearly $1 million in medical bills. Currently, the county, Habersham County, is arguing that they are not legally authorized to pay those $1 million in bills. And none of the police involved in that no-knock raid faced any sort of disciplinary action because, of course, they did everything by the book. Nobody ever questions that maybe the book is written incorrectly, except for these legislators who say, hey, maybe we ought to rewrite the book. This Bobo's Law that they're putting together would prohibit no-knock raids between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. Can't bust into someone's house in the middle of the night, and I think the Bobo raid was like 4 a.m, something like that, really, really early in the morning. It would also instruct law enforcement agencies to develop written policies and training for executing no-knock warrants. Now, that shocks me into thinking that, wait, there aren't already policies in writing? There isn't already special training for these officers conducting no-knock warrants? The law would also require that supervising officers are present and require assurance that human lives or evidence are in imminent danger. That is, you can't just do a no-knock raid because you suspect someone's got a bunch of weed or maybe a grow in their house. You've got to have some sort of assurance that human lives are in danger or these guys are in the process of destroying evidence before you can get a no-knock raid. This kid spent 5 weeks in a medically induced coma. And like we said, he's going to have to spend the rest of his life, you know, his young life in surgery. And the Democrat who proposed the bill said, quote, we're saying there should be restrictions on them. And we think the situation in the recent past where they have been abused warrants that. Where they've just been using no-knock raids just because they're fun. Just because they want to play some shock and awe game with the suspects. But the International Brotherhood of Police Officers in Georgia, as represented by their spokesperson, Carrie Mills, said that there's already too many restrictions on doing no-knock raids. It's already too tough for the cops. She says, quote, I don't think any changes are needed because it is not easy now, end quote. Well, apparently it was easy enough to lead to a kid getting a hole blown in him. You don't think that calls for any sort of rewriting of the book here, huh? But here is the real chilling part of what she had to say. Quote, and this is the police spokesperson. Quote, you have to draw the line between your right as a citizen to privacy and a community's right to live in a crime-free environment. You can't have them both. Oh. So we could have privacy, but only if we want crime to run rampant in our streets, is what she's trying to tell us here. Didn't Benjamin Franklin say something about trading liberty and security? This case that went down, that led to the no-knock raid, that blew a hole in a toddler, put him in a coma for 5 weeks, and is going to lead to millions of dollars worth of surgeries for the rest of his young life, was over a confidential informant who was arrested, who allegedly sold $50 worth of meth. $50 worth of meth. This police spokesperson talks about having safe neighborhoods. We want to live in a crime-free environment. I think a lot of us would like to live in an environment where police force isn't used to break down people's doors and assault their family and shoot their dogs over a $50 drug deal. There gets to a point here where it's diminishing returns. How much of the community are you really saving and securing by trying to bust some snitch on a $50 drug deal versus the chaos and damage and fear and terror you strike into a neighborhood when flashbang grenades are going off at 4 a.m? Now, the drug task force has been disbanded, the one that did the raid. The drug agent who secured the no-knock warrant resigned. The judge who signed the warrant retired. So it doesn't look like there's going to be any justice for little Bow Bow.
Rabba-dabba-goo!
All right, folks, it's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone. Smoke them if you got them. Have yourself a good time. Try and chill and relax. When we come back, we're going to talk about one of our Oregon senators who thinks that edibles are bad. Really, really bad. Stay tuned. We're back after these messages. You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Funky roller rink.
Oh yeah.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Oh yeah.
Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
It's always a party at the Funky Roller Rink.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour, and today I want to refer to a story that appeared in the Oregonian saying that a key lawmaker says a marijuana overdose in an Oregon resort town shows the need to go slowly on making pot-infused candies, cookies, and other edibles available to the public. The key lawmaker in question is Senator Ginny Burdick. She's a Democrat from here in Portland, but more importantly, she's the co-chair of the committee that's working on implementing Measure 91. She said she's not willing to allow the sale of marijuana edibles until regulators figure out how to control potency and keep them away from kids, saying, quote, "I don't think we're in a position to approve any kind of edibles right now. We have to figure out a way to package them, label them, and make sure people understand the dosage," end quote. Well, the case in question involves a 37-year-old woman in Sun River who was, she's from Washington State. They find her slumped on the bathroom floor, pale and having trouble breathing. She was numb from the shoulders down. And she had eaten three marijuana candies that were shaped like raspberries that were brought by the other woman, another woman. That woman bought the candies in a shop in Washington. So we have a woman from Washington who bought candies, medical candies in Washington, or medicated candies in Washington, brought them to Oregon, which right there is a crime. That's trafficking. And ate too many of them and is complaining they weren't labeled well enough in Washington. According to the story, the candies were in a plastic snap-top container with no packaging indicating how potent they were or how to use them. Now, of course, she refused to go to the hospital later went home to Washington and is apparently no worse for wear. As most people that overdose on marijuana find, it's not pleasant, but it doesn't kill you. But the problem I have with Senator Burdick's idea here is the same problem I've always had with people whenever they fear marijuana legalization. This idea that we can't approve any kind of edibles. We can't approve any kind of marijuana. We can't allow people to have this thing. As if allowing it is going to invent it. Clearly, they exist in Washington State. People are getting them and bringing them here to Oregon. That's what just happened, right? And clearly, they exist in the current medical marijuana dispensaries. With hardly any labeling, testing, potency requirements, at least nothing as strict as what you'd find in Colorado. So we have a situation in Oregon where these medicated edibles have existed for years. And there's been the scares. Oh no, watch out at Halloween, you might get a medicated candy that never turn out to be true. So how is it that we've been able to survive here in Oregon with thousands of people having access to purchasing these medicated edibles? But it's going to be a problem if we allow non-card-holding people to use them. Well, there's some arguments for that. These patients have pretty high tolerances. They can drop a 25 milligram chocolate and not even hardly feel it. But the fact that the new consumer might be ignorant of the effects of medibles does not argue for banning them or not selling them. Clearly, they are a popular item. They were very popular in Colorado. They're very popular in Washington. And when we legalize here in Oregon, they're going to be very popular as well. And part of this comes from our society's relentless demonization of smoking. We've convinced people that smoking is an evil, terrible, icky, low-class thing. So you get a lot of these newbies whose last experience with marijuana was smoking a joint in Eugene, you know, in the 80s. But now they think smoking is evil and icky and bad. So they're going to turn to the more natural, clean, healthy alternative of eating their cannabis, having no clue that eating the cannabis is 9 times more psychoactive because of its processing to 11-hydroxy-THC rather than Delta-9, and that there's a longer onset time you have to be aware of. But none of this argues for banning it, because all that's going to happen if it's not available in the recreational pot shops, somebody's going to know a friend that's got a card who's going to go buy it for them at the dispensaries that have even less regulation and labeling requirements. Or they're going to buy some cannabis on their own and they're going to cook their own edibles, or they're going to know someone who makes their own edibles, and those edibles won't be labeled in any sort of way. And we'll introduce the possibility of contaminations and E. coli and all the other terrible food poisoning things that could possibly happen in an unregulated, unlicensed kitchen with untrained food handlers. Now, Senator Burdick, we don't need to go slow on marijuana edibles. This overdose shows that we need to go fast on marijuana edibles. We need to quickly come up with rules and regulations, labeling and education, public service announcements, and consider public smoking lounges. So some of these newbies who want to just smoke a joint have some place to be able to do it. All of these would be far better solutions than trying to cram the toothpaste back in the tube of marijuana edibles.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at... Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about seven people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net. Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour and continuing our discussion with the leaders in the marijuana movement and marijuana industry. We're joined today by the CEO of Mary's Medicinals. We've got Nicole Smith on the line. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Much. Happy to be here.
Oh, thank you for being here. And the big news that we've got to announce here with respect to Mary's Medicinals is apparently you guys have a new mobile app that's out, and you know everybody's downloading these new apps. What is this app all about for Mary's Medicinals?
So this is designed to help patients track their meds, and we're actually making a plea to patients in order to do just that, because the information that we can collect and compile just helps us create better medicinal products.
Yeah, you know, that's a big need, and I'm glad you guys are addressing that. I'm here in Oregon, where we've had medical marijuana since 1998, and I just learned this week that the legislature submitted a bill to finally study medical marijuana patients, find out what works for them, what doesn't work for them. It's like, wow, 16 years later, we're finally going to ask some questions. Is that kind of what motivated you to want to put this app together?
You know, it is in part, and primarily it was just the lack of ability to do any sort of clinical trials. We can do some market research, and that's essentially what we're doing, but that allows us to compile data that ultimately becomes the baseline for us to do clinical studies when we can or they are allowed by the government.
Hmm. So this mobile app, you can get it at the Apple Store, and it's available on Google Android, is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so how does it work? Is it just like a little, is it like a diary? Is it a weed maps kind of thing, looking for dispensaries? How does it work?
No, actually, what it does is it sets reminders that you can schedule yourself to remind you to track your medication and to basically medicate. So three times a day, you get a reminder and you're asked two questions. One, did you medicate? And if so, what did you do? And how do you feel? You also have the opportunity to go ahead and add a journal entry or additional information. But as we continue to develop the app, we'll add the ability to track additional data, like whether or not you exercised or diet or otherwise, blood pressure perhaps or blood sugar levels, and so that you really can take a snapshot and look back on what's working for me.
So is this app then collecting the data and automatically uploading it to you guys for distribution? Do people have control over that? Is there any privacy concerns
we
need to worry?
Yeah, we don't distribute any of the data that we collect. It's used just for us in order to, A, produce better products, and B, like I said, ultimately for clinical trials when we're allowed to do them.
Okay. We're speaking with Nicole Smith, the CEO of Mary's Medicinals. You can find them online at marysmedicinals.com. And I see the link here that says that you've got something, Mary's Journal. Is that the online version of what this app does?
Absolutely. It's called Mary's Journal, and it's your way to track your medication as well as how you're feeling and continue to just support your cannabis medical treatment.
Okay, so someone doesn't have to have a smartphone to be able to do this. They could just get online on their computer and use the Mary's Journal version.
They could use, collect data online through our website. And again, any information that we continue to garner from patients just helps the community at large, right? We just really want to make sure that we know what patients are doing, that they're medicating accurately and efficiently, and that they're getting the best care that they can get given the restrictions that we have.
Excellent. Now, I'm aware of Mary's Medicinals up here in the Pacific Northwest. A friend of mine turned me on to the transdermal patches. What can you tell us about the topical use of cannabis? Maybe inform our listeners a little bit about its benefits and rewards.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mary's is unique in that our products all have a transdermal component to them. Most of your topical products will only permeate the first six layers of the dermis. Ours are designed to go directly to the bloodstream for systemic delivery of cannabinoids. What this does is it avoids first-pass metabolism, which actually consumes about 80% of your medicine. So if you're consuming an edible, you're losing 80% systemic acid and first-pass metabolism by the liver. Our products going directly to the bloodstream allow patients to use less and get just better efficiency.
Wow. What are the varieties of these transdermal patches that you have?
Yeah, so we do six different varieties. Obviously, we do two types of THC, an indica and a sativa. CBN only, so your cannabinol for muscle spasms and sleep support. CBD, a THCA, which is a non-activated version. It has all the benefits of THC without the psychotropic effects. And then a one-to-one.
Okay. And using these transdermally, some of these products do have THC in them. So do people feel a psychotropic effect from them?
Yeah. So for the THC products that we produce, you will have a little bit of a heady feeling to them. We do have some folks that use them recreationally. But 70% of the products we produce are non-psychotropic and are designed primarily just for pain relief and symptomatic relief from various conditions.
What sort of products do you have aside from the patches?
We do a transdermal gel. So it's fast-acting, a little shorter-lasting, but we do that in a lower milligram dose. So patients can augment their patch use with the transdermal gel for breakthrough pain or if they needed just a little extra support during the day, or also to get just a little bit of another cannabinoid. A lot of people like to pair their cannabinoids in various ratios, so this allowed people to be in charge of their medicine, creating their own blends. And then we do a topical compound as well that has some transdermal constituents. This was designed primarily for folks suffering from basal cell carcinoma, melanoma, and then direct tumor reduction.
It's all fascinating stuff. We're speaking with Nicole Smith from marysmedicinals.com. They've got a new app out on the Apple Store and Google Play to help track your medical cannabis use. This kind of data can be very, very useful for the product development, come up with better products, and also just the general knowledge of the patient base to know what works well for some patients and what doesn't work for some patients. Now, Nicole, I'm kind of interested in the regulatory aspects of this. How many states are you currently sold in, and what sort of differences do you find in trying to get your products on the shelves in the different states?
Yeah, obviously the cannabis industry is a difficult puzzle to solve. We're currently sold in two states, Washington and Colorado, of course. But we have just licensed to open in Vermont by April 1st and California by mid-March. And, of course, each state has its own regulatory requirements. So we look to partner with local companies that we feel are the right fit for Mary's and have the best patient interest at heart. And they actually set up to manufacture our products directly in that state.
Right. And this is because we're facing still the federal prohibition that prohibits you guys from shipping interstate. So you have to build a Mary's in each state. Am I wrong on that?
Yep. No, that's exactly right. So we have to recreate our organization in each one of these states as we continue to expand.
Do you think that, as we develop these marijuana industries and they're developing in this sort of state by state basis, do you feel there's a time coming when if that federal prohibition is lifted, suddenly the big pharmaceutical companies get involved and become a big competition for your company?
I think that that's a risk. I think either with rescheduling or legalization, there's definitely a risk for either pharmaceutical companies or either tobacco or alcohol companies to come in, depending on which way it goes. But what I do believe is that there's a very strong movement within the cannabis community that will continue to support those that were there and struggled through the efforts long before Big Pharma was able to play in the game.
Yeah, and in my perspective, I see that the longer that federal prohibition continues and the longer we evolve on a state-by-state basis, the more loyalty those brands will build in those states. And so I tend to not worry so much about the Big Pharma takeover. I always like to ask the people in the business about that. Do you have any other... Do you have any other concerns on the horizon here? I mean, we're just beginning the legalization process here in Oregon and Alaska. Any plans to expand here?
Yeah, actually, we are actively talking to a group in Oregon, and I'm hoping that we sign contracts this week and are looking to launch them in the mid-March to early April timeframe as well. So we are excited to continue to expand across the entire West Coast. But I think in addressing your question as far as concerns, I think one of them is that we continue to see these regulations in various states come across that are basically throwing the baby out with the bathwater. So trying to regulate CBD only or very specific conditions, and I think they're missing the broader picture.
The broader picture being?
That there's so much value to cannabis on the whole, and it's hard to just legalize one constituent of it and have something that's effective. And what ends up happening, I think, is a quagmire of legislation and, you know, people fighting and vying. I think Florida is a prime example with companies suing one another and suing the state over recent regulations, and just really not looking at the bigger picture and simplifying the process. I think Colorado has done a really great job in our efforts here, especially as we continue to roll out the rec market, that were very seamless. And I just wish that some of the states could continue to look at the examples that are being set by states like Colorado and Washington and Oregon and follow suit.
I hope so too. One last question, Nicole Smith from Mary's Medicinals, marysmedicinals.com. I often notice people that get involved in this business and this reform either got busted, got sick, or are just angry at the civil liberties issue here. Is that you in any one of those three or some combination? How did you get involved in this?
You know, honestly, it was an idea, and honestly, it was a challenge. We were talking to some folks about the industry and some of the concerns that were going on. My background's been in business development for over 15 years, and I had experience in making nutraceutical patches. And I said, I think a patch would be a primary delivery method, and that it would make the best use of a limited resource. And someone said, no, you can't. And I said, yes, we can. And that's really how we got our start.
Well, that's a feel-good story there, Nicole. Just striking back against someone who said you couldn't do it, you've proven that you can. Mary's Medicinals has the transdermal patches, has all sorts of great products. Check them out at marysmedicinals.com. And get that new app. Download the Mary's Journal mobile app on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, or use it online at marysmedicinals.com. Nicole Smith, the CEO, joining us here for Cannabusiness Chronicles. We thank you for being a part of the show, and good luck in your expansion and growth.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much. And when we come back, we're going to have a chance to get into our radical rant. We're going to talk a little bit more about the medical versus the recreational markets. Do they need to be two separate and distinct markets? Or, like Nicole kind of mentioned, is this a plant that benefits everyone so much that everybody should have the same access to it? We'll talk about that more coming up next.
Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Hey, little dude, send your mama and daddy out of the room. I gotta get you up on this. You know who I am. Snake, dealing in weed, coke, crack, your choice. Take one hit and you'll do anything to cop more. Steal from your mama, lie, cheat on your homeboys. But hey, that's the price you pay when you deal with dudes like me. Now, some folks will tell you that I'm dealing in poison. But hey, do I look like the kind of guy that would do that to a kid like you? Yes!
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 47 after the hour, and today I want to talk a little bit more about marijuana apartheid, the concept that I coined a few days ago, referring to this idea that we have a medical marijuana dispensary system here in the state of Oregon that is supplied by untaxed, unregulated, unlicensed growers who harvest and stack patient cards in order to maintain their grows and sell their weed, again, tax-free, to these medical marijuana dispensaries. Remember, also, we had that story in the Oregonian recently of the fact that the largest one of these grows, these medical marijuana grows, is stacked with 104 cards, all from Californians. So that's the one system we've currently got. Very loosely regulated, untaxed, supposedly excess medical marijuana that's being donated to these stores in exchange for expenses and costs of doing business. That's the current system that exists. And then we should institute alongside of it a completely separate system, a so-called recreational marijuana system, where the marijuana is tracked seed to sale, there's taxes involved, there's labeling requirements, and so forth. And I call this marijuana apartheid, because we are trying to separate consumers of a product based on their inherent physical characteristics. And to me, it's wrong. It's just wrong. And today I wrote something in Facebook to kind of, illustrate how I'm feeling about the issue. Once upon a time, a fellow wished to eat a cheeseburger. He walked into a local lunch counter to sit down and order a cheeseburger. The police were called to inform the man that he could not sit down and order a cheeseburger at that lunch counter because he was not white. It was explained to the man that according to the law, this lunch counter was a place where only white people could order cheeseburgers. It's not that anybody wishes to starve the colored people. It's understood that colored people have hunger too. But the colored people need to go across the tracks to the seedier side of town and find the lunch counter that was designated for the coloreds. Now, everybody can have a cheeseburger, but it's vitally important that the white people eat their cheeseburgers only around the other white people, and that the colored people only eat their cheeseburgers around only the other colored people. It was explained to him that the white people would be uncomfortable if they had to order their cheeseburgers around the colored people. Also was explained how the white people have special needs when they order their cheeseburgers. White people, he was told, like mayonnaise and specially fed hormone-free, antibiotic-free, low-fat, free-range beef. Coloreds, of course, like those hot sauces and crispy bacon and will accept fatty, run-of-the-mill ground chuck in their burgers. If white lunch counters had to serve the coloreds, why, they wouldn't be as likely to carry mayonnaise. And in serving the coloreds, they'd be financially incentivized to carry cheaper, fattier beef. But eventually, we as a society realized that separate but equal is anything but equal. We learned that segregation is always wrong, and that businesses eventually adapted, and the fears predicted by opponents of segregation were far overblown. There are plenty of places where people of all races can get a cheap cheeseburger, but there are still places where cheeseburger snobs can go get their precious super cow. So explain to me why there needs to be a separate building where only sick and disabled people can go buy marijuana. So that was the post on Facebook, and I got a lot of answers on it. One answer was, we can all go to the same store, but can we pay different tax rates, please? Sure. Sure. All for that. All for that. Even though in that metaphor, it would be like saying we're going to tax the colored people for their cheeseburgers, but the white people get to eat cheeseburgers tax-free. But it's not exactly cheeseburgers either. We are talking about a medicine that some people use, and when you're forced to buy the product for medicine, perhaps letting them not have, or letting them have a tax break is ethical and moral. But that's not the point I was trying to make in that little vignette. Had nothing to do with whether or not the patients wouldn't still get special privileges. So it's not even quite an accurate vignette because I'm not completely arguing for absolute equality. Sure, make the medical marijuana card a tax rebate card. Got no problem with that. But then I got another one that said, this is a lot more like demanding that McDonald's sell steaks because why discriminate against different types of food, man? They're both beef. That doesn't exactly address the point that I was making. And maybe I can make it more clearly. Just yesterday, I went into a dispensary. And in that dispensary, there were 32, maybe more, God, probably 50 jars. Stock full of dried usable marijuana. Of those, I don't know, 40 to 50 different jars, there were two that were high CBD, low THC. Two. The others, the other 48 or so, good old fashioned get you fucked up marijuana. Now, I don't deny that the good old fashioned get you fucked up marijuana may indeed have a medical purpose for that person who needs that particular strain. But you can also not deny that I can buy that same strain and just get high. So it's not like steaks and cheeseburgers, no. It's cheeseburgers and cheeseburgers. We're talking about the same exact cheeseburger, the same White Fire OG, the same Cinex, the same Bubba Kush, the same AK-47. It's the same. Regardless of whether eating that cheeseburger is curing your anorexia or just filling your tummy on a nice day. This would be like, it's not like asking McDonald's to sell steaks. It's like asking there to be separate restaurants for anorexics. The other fear here is we will see people screaming that we cannot sell high potency products in recreational stores because what about the children? The argument will make perfect sense to most people because if you just want to get stoned, you could smoke more. But if you're a patient, you might need some super intense high potency marijuana to deal with your condition. Should you be subjected to the best practice for recreational use to govern your medicine? Ah, the straw man rears his ugly head. No, my argument has consistently been set the bar high enough for the medical user, and that'll be more than good enough for the recreational user. Make those bud tenders be trained to know the medical this or the medical that. The recreational user who goes and buys the AK-47 may not care, but that information's there if he wants it to be there. And this idea that only the patients need the super high potency stuff and the recreational users will be banned and have a lower potency selection is making my argument. It's making my argument that my shops are going to discriminate. My shops aren't going to let me get the 100 milligram Chiba Chew. I'll be stuck with the 15 milligram and the medical people will still have their 100 milligram. And then you know what happens? I keep a caregiver card and I keep shopping at the dispensaries. And so do a whole bunch of other people. And those patient rolls continue to increase even though we've legalized marijuana. And those tax revenues that have been expected from the legalized marijuana fail to materialize. And the legislature starts going, well, wait a minute, sure looks like there's a whole bunch more gaming of this medical marijuana system going on. Let's start cutting on that. Let's make it tougher to get your medical marijuana card. Let's raise the price of the medical marijuana card. Let's make it stricter to get a chronic pain diagnosis. Let's require that the clinics have a bona fide doctor-patient relationship with very strict restrictions on it. I see my move as eventually leading to the long-term best results for the patients. I see keeping it separate with marijuana apartheid incentivizing the gaming of the medical marijuana system that threatens patients. This other argument, if your only gripe is that you think regulations will forbid you from entering a medical store, by all means, fight for the right of any adult to purchase marijuana from either a recreational store or a medical store, but don't insist the two stores be combined into one. That seems to me an even sillier argument. Let's have two completely separate types of pot shops run by two completely separate different authorities, the Oregon Health Authority on one side, the Liquor Control Commission on the other side. Let's have two completely separate supply systems, one that's being supplied by card-stacking medical marijuana patients, the other one that's being supplied by licensed and regulated growers who are taxed. But let everybody shop at both of them. That's just, how far are people going to keep pushing this absurdity? You know, the medical marijuana argument made a lot of sense when the choice was not use marijuana and die, use marijuana and go to prison. That used to be the choice for the sick and disabled person. Use marijuana, go to prison, don't use marijuana, die. Now we've got a situation where no one using marijuana will go to prison. All of the context for the arguments of what about the poor patients and let's think of the poor patients, that context is gone now. It's no longer a crime. It's no longer we're patients, not criminals. It's now we're cannabis consumers. There was another argument brought forth that said the reason there needs to be separate pot shops from dispensaries is because localities can ban pot shops, but they can't ban dispensaries. So, we've got to keep them separate in case somewhere out there in Eastern Oregon, the conservative rednecks out there vote to ban pot shops. That sounds a lot to me like, well, you know, them Southerners in Alabama will never, ever agree to integrate the schools. They'd rather close all the schools in that case. So we better keep the whites-only schools so at least the white kids get some education. Segregation is always wrong. I have no problem if a retailer under one set of regulations and one set of suppliers wants to only sell medical stuff. Just like I don't have a problem with Hong Fat, the Chinese grocery store out there on 82nd, posting all their signs in Chinese and selling a bunch of weird-looking vegetables I'd never want to buy. That's any retailer's right. But don't tell me I can't go shop at Hong Fat just because I'm a white guy that doesn't speak Chinese. because segregation is always wrong. How much simpler does this need to be? 50 years of the civil rights movement, we should have had this lesson learned by now. We'll talk more about this in hour two. Thanks, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.